This is Radio City Talk.
Let's talk European football with TopUEFA.com commentator and presenter Rob Daly. Morning, Rob.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Very good. The big question on everyone's lips in this massive European week is, how has Tony Adams got a job as manager of Granada?
It is one of the truly great questions. And you look at the suit he was wearing. I don't know who Taylor is either. But it's an extraordinary sequence of events that's tied into roles that Adams has had in China with the same owners. So I wouldn't call it a Gary Neville-esque appointment at Valencia, but similar ties to a club and a bizarre one that, I think Granada are going down, but good luck to him. I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Pretty astonishing, isn't it, given his managerial track record of being in charge of Wickham, all of a sudden he heads into La Liga.
Yeah, and he had that spell at Portsmouth as well that didn't go that well. He was also at Azerbaijani side Gabala. I mean, there's no track record for him to really justify him being given a La Liga job, a top division job in Spain. But it's, bizarre ownership leads to these kind of decisions. So,
as you say, he's a close mate of Granada's Chinese owner. So it does show it's all about the contacts in the game. Let's get on to the Champions League. What a brilliant week we've got ahead. We've got to start with the games tomorrow, and that's Leicester tomorrow. Now, did you watch Claudio Ranieri on Sky Sports yesterday?
I didn't. I've Sky Plus it, so I was going to watch it back this morning because I haven't seen the Arsenal game either. I know the result, obviously, but he sort of hint that Shakespeare was part of the problem?
He seemed to imply this, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I was reading this morning. So I do feel for him. And in retrospect, I mean, when was Ranieri sacked? Well, we're talking 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. We were all, I think that there was sort of universal disappointment that the romance from football appeared to be completely gone. But I think the decision, perfectly illustrated by the Sevilla turnaround, has been justified that a change probably was needed.
So Atletico Madrid against Leicester. Two games tomorrow in the quarterfinals. This one at the Vicente Calderon. It's quite an arena, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at last, I think it's the glamour tide that Leicester have been looking for. I had friends who are Leicester fans who went out to Seville and absolutely loved that. But the Calderon and playing against Atletico team that have been in the final two times out of the past three seasons is just another step up for them. And I think this is the end of the road probably for Leicester City because Atletico are a superb Champions League team. And those Leicester fans get to visit the wonderful Calderon, which basically doesn't have that many areas of the stadium covered. It's pretty much open, but somehow keeps the sound in. It doesn't make much sense. But Atletico leaving the Calderon at the end of the season for their brand new arena. So Leicester fans, regardless of the result, are in for a treat.
Atletico runners up in the past two of the past three seasons. It sort of shows the quality which Leicester are facing.
Yeah, they're facing a team that Diego Simeone built brilliantly for European football. And they're going to be very difficult to stop against. Simeone has won the Europa League with Atletico. He's got them to two Champions League finals. If you think about the margins in which they lost those finals to Real Madrid, Sergio Ramos scoring a last-minute equaliser in the 2014 edition and Barca eventually winning it 4-1 in extra time and then penalties last season. Atletico are reasonably good shape going into this one as well. I mean, Fernando Torres is expected to start up front with Antoine Griezmann because Kevin Gamero hasn't been 100% and didn't play the weekend in the Madrid derby, which finished 1-1. So Atletico overall are in very good shape going into that game.
It's a great last four, isn't it? The other game tomorrow night, Bayern Munich against Real Madrid. That's just a mouth-watering tie, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting that the sets of ties we have. We have Juve, Barca and Bayern Real Madrid, which you could say they might be the four best club teams in European football. So we're going to be in a situation whereby two of them are knocked out and it opens things up a little bit. I mean, Bayern have really hit their stride in recent weeks, Steve. I mean, at the weekend, I don't know if you saw any of their Clasico win over Dortmund, but they were absolutely brutal and ruthless. And for all the criticism and Ancelotti's team at the start of the season, they were saying intensity or attacking purpose that had been seen under Guardiola in Munich for three seasons. They looked absolutely devastating and they would appear to be peaking at the right time. And who would begrudge someone like Xabi Alonso, another another Champions League winner's medal.
What a remarkable end to the career that would be for Xabi Alonso to finish at the top, if that could happen for him. Could you see Bayern going all the way?
Oh, no, without question, yeah. I certainly could. I mean, Real Madrid are top in Spain, and they're top by 3 points of the game in hand. So they're in a very good position, but neither Barca or Real Madrid or Atletico have been vintage this year by any means. And, you know, while Bayern took a few months to really get into their stride, I would actually go in favour of Bayern in this situation. Of course, Alonso facing the club he won the Champions League with, Ancelotti facing the club he faced the Champions League with, and Zidane was his assistant that season when they did triumph in 2014. So there's lots of nice little subplots as well between two of the biggest clubs in the world.
Some great subplots tonight as well, isn't there? The ties taking place include Juventus against Barcelona, so Higuain against Lionel Messi.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, international teammates Argentina have tried to crowbar both players and Sergio Aguero into their starting 11 to play, which just...
It's not bad, is it?
It's what I try to do on FIFA, just try and get all your best players in. But Argentina have been rubbish. It doesn't really work. So, I mean, you know, Barcelona coming to this off the back of a defeat of the weekend to Malaga. They lost 2-0. Neymar was sent off. There's been conspiracy typically in the Catalan press that the referees are out for them and blah, blah, blah. But they contend their Champions League matches tonight after their dramatic win over Paris Saint-Germain. Worth noting, Barcelona are without Sergio Busquets tonight. The former Liverpool midfielder Javier Mascherano is expected to step into midfield from the centre of defence.
Right.
And TT to partner Pique. And Dani Alves, who you know, won the Champions League with Barcelona, including against Juventus in 2015 in Berlin, should start at right back for Juve tonight against his former employers, for whom he's not had a great deal of nice things to say since he left. So, we've got so many great games this week. It's ridiculous.
That Barca lost at the weekend, didn't they? Was that right? Malaga?
That's right, to Malaga, yeah. So for the second time this season, in fact, Malaga managed to stop them scoring. And Barcelona did look flat. Neymar was deservedly sent off for two petulant incidents. One was tying his shoelaces in front of a free kick to delay it. Second, he just plattered into someone clearing the ball. And he's going to miss the Clásico as well, Steve, because what he did was, as Neymar walked off the pitch, he sarcastically applauded officials as he went down the tunnel. He would have had a one-game ban for a two-yellow red card. He's now got a two-game ban and won't face Real Madrid. So, you know, at times Barcelona can let their attitude get the better of them. And I know there was certainly criticism levelled at Suarez for the way he won the penalty against Paris Saint-Germain. You may remember, you know, Barcelona will do absolutely anything to win. But on the same, you know, on the same coin, it's part of the reason you can't write them off at all.
And the final of these Champions League quarterfinals, Borussia Dortmund against Monaco. Maybe this, look, you know, Borussia Dortmund, great side, but maybe we just talked about two wonderful ties, haven't we? Maybe this isn't getting the headlines and the notoriety as much as some of those other games taking place in the quarters.
Steve, for a pompous European football hipster like myself, this is the dream.
Is this the one?
It's the one. Borussia Dortmund in Monaco.
The goals of Monaco.
Oh, my God. It's Swindon, right? More than 200 goals already this season. So Dortmund coming to this off the back of a disappointing defeat to Bayern, 4-1 at the weekend. Monaco did get the weekend. They managed to edge out a victory at Angers, but they're still reeling from a heavy defeat in the French League Cup final to Paris Saint-Germain. So we've got two teams that can be defensively exploited as Manchester City found. They can also absolutely kill you on the counter any way they want to attack. But
oh, Rob, we're just losing you ever so slightly. Just move to the side, see if we can regain that signal a little bit. You there?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I've got you now there. Sorry, go on.
So we've got two of the best attacking teams in Europe, more than 200 goals between them this season. Monaco, of course, came back against Manchester City in the last round. Borussia Dortmund, apart from their group games against Real Madrid this season, haven't been tested at the highest level in the Champions League so far. For the absolute nerd European football guy,
you love it.
This is the one to watch. Yeah.
Who's the winner of the Champions League then, if you're looking at it now?
Well, I backed Bayern at the start of the season and I might stick with it for now, but I'd back Monaco to beat Dortmund and make the semi-finals and make someone's life very difficult. And I actually think this Monaco team, do you remember that Porto team that Mourinho had in 2004? And, you know, you had Deco and Ricardo Carvalho and Ferreira and all these players that went on to things. I think this Monaco team might be like that, in that we'll look back and go, did they really have Thomas Lemar, Bernardo Silva, Kylian Mbappe, all these players at the same time? Because it's going to be hard for Monaco to keep that group together beyond this season, because everyone knows about their players now.
Rob, great stuff. Thanks for your time, pal.
I'll get a better signal next time. I'm sorry I let you down.
No problems. Take care. Enjoy your footy. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
Rob Daly there, UEFA.com commentator and presenter and European football nerd.
This is Radio City Talk.